As the rise of the driverless car grew in potential, you had to know that sooner versus later, the federal government would want to stick its regulatory hand into the mix. New industry hasn't even made it out of the womb. Big government's already giving them a list of do's and don'ts. Here to give his analysis of big government's casting its net over a developing industry and technology is the transportation expert with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Mark Scribner. Good morning, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
And it's CEI.org for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Now, before we get into what the feds are saying about the driverless cars, have you had any experience with one? Have you watched them in practice? Have you been in one?
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to ride in a couple of prototypes, and you know, I think the technology is getting closer. There's still work for the developers to do before they're ready for consumers, but we've come a long way in the past 10 years, and it's quite impressive what companies, you know, Google is well known for their exploits, but also traditional automakers and tier one parts suppliers are getting into the game and are producing some pretty advanced prototypes as well.
This is completely layperson, never seen the interior, just watch the news clip videos of when they're on the roads. Is there a steering wheel? Do you sit behind what would be the driver's seat? Is there do these have fail safes just in case?
Right. So when they're doing testing for these vehicles on public roads, largely in California so far, they have a steering wheel and they have a test driver in there who is prepared to take the wheel if a problem arises. And you know, reading they're required to, these companies are required to report to the California Department of Motor Vehicles the incidents where the test driver has to take over, and they still exist. There are certain complex scenarios with these cars where the sensors can't handle it by themselves, and there's certain things that sort of trick the sensors. The latest thing that I thought was kind of amusing is the sensors have been interpreting low-hanging tree branches as potential obstacles in the roadway. So, but these are kind of the things that, you know, that only on-road testing can really reveal, and that's why, you know, Google has now racked up more than a million test miles, mostly in California, but, you know, we expect this to continue and for this testing to increase in the coming years.
Should say some of those Google tests have been on some of the roads in San Francisco, which if you can get a driverless car, if you can get a car with a driver down those roads without something happening, never mind a driverless car, you've achieved a miracle.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get into what the feds are up to. And I guess it starts with the Obama administration. They announced plans to pump $4 billion over the span of 10 years to, as they say, accelerate the development and deployment of automated vehicles. And I heard that. And I thought back to a story of all things, weird analogy, but there was a point to it. Jerry Lewis, back in 1961, I think it was, went to then-President John F. Kennedy, and this was before the Labor Day muscular dystrophy telethons had started, and he asked President Kennedy, "You think you can get $10 million in federal funding for MDA research?" And Kennedy looks at him and says, "Yeah, I could probably get you $20 and probably get the check signed before you're back on the plane to California, but you don't want me to do that." And Jerry said, "Why?" And Kennedy said, "Because if you take this federal money, you will never be able to do what you know is best for what you need to have done. You'll be at the whim and the wants of the suppliers of that money. So that's why that all fell to the way it went. So if an industry is looking at $4 billion in federal money, is that really a cause to celebrate?
So, yeah, and I think that the federal money, and granted, this money hasn't been made available yet. This is going to appear likely in President Obama's last formal budget request to Congress, and it remains to be seen what Congress will do with that. The main worry with the $4 billion, and if you read the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, when the announcement was made last week, put out an update to their 2013 preliminary statement of policy on autonomous vehicles. And what makes the $4 billion so concerning is they're talking about what's called connected vehicle technology, which is an ongoing initiative, and I think a dangerous initiative that's been going on at the Department of Transportation for a number of years. But it's wholly separate from automated vehicle technology. This is a communications protocol that's sort of like Wi-Fi for cars. There's been a lot of problems with it, and with the way that the feds you know, sort of imagine this working right now is not for automating the vehicle, not for having a computer drive it, but to send hazard warnings and the like between cars to alert drivers to imminent hazards and things like that. This is a politically selected technology. The automakers are supportive of it largely because they've spent $1 billion of their own funds over the past 10, 15 years on it. But it really is sort of a white elephant at this point with you know, this new automated technology coming on the market. And the fear is this $4 billion is really not going to get pumped into you know, doing things like examining what roadways need to be upgraded to allow certain kinds of features. Instead, it's going to get poured into this existing politically selected technology, and this automated vehicle, talking about driverless cars and how exciting that is going to act as sort of a political cover. So that's my main concern with how we seem to be approaching this. But we've yet to see a formal budget request, so it remains to be seen exactly what that $4 billion would be used for.
Mark Scribner, who is a transportation expert with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. One of the edicts from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, they want to, within 6 months, propose guidelines, or guidance, I guess, to the industry for principles of safe operation for the driverless vehicles. It seems like they want to, they want to make everything uniform instead of a state to state. Here's what you do here, almost like a right to carry permit for guns. If you have a gun permit, right to carry in Pennsylvania, don't come into New Jersey with it because you're going to get arrested. It seems like they want to avoid that.
Right, and in part, I think that has to do with the experience that we've had so far with the states. There's been five states. Plus the District of Columbia have enacted legislation that deals with this technology. And, you know, you look at California, that's sort of an ongoing disaster, what's going on there basically back in 2012, California enacted this law that everyone at the time was very, very excited about. The problem was it was very poorly written. And then they kicked it over to the Department of Motor Vehicles in California. And when they were struggling to implement this, one of the things that they found was it's very difficult for them to actually authorize a self-driving car, a truly self-driving car, so one where the driver has no responsibility, perhaps not even an ability, to retake manual control. And the problem is that Google, their latest prototype, what they would like to test in California but now can't, would take the steering wheel and the pedals out completely. And really be a fully autonomous vehicle. And this is what, you know, this kind of application is what really gets people excited, because you can imagine self-driving taxis, and for people who live in urban areas or inner ring suburbs, this could potentially in the future mean that, you know, you don't need to own your own vehicle, or you can come up with more sharing arrangements with your neighbors or something like that. But it could transform the way sort of we think about automobility in potentially very beneficial ways. But California, in this early stage, has already effectively outlawed the most promising features of this. So I think NHTSA, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, is cognizant of some of the missteps that the states have made, and claims it would like to avoid them. But, you know, it remains to be seen if they're not just going to double down on some of the failed policies that we've seen in California and impose that nationwide. So absolutely, that is a concern. I think the good news is that after the California experience, policymakers left and right they've awoken to this notion that government can in fact screw up technology, and no one, left and right, politician, wants to be responsible for killing a driverless car, at least at this point. So I think right now we're in a fairly good position, but like I said, the devil's going to be in the details, particularly with respect to this Obama administration proposal.
Yeah, you mentioned about government screwing up technology from the old days of radio when AM stereo was going to be the way to save AM radio. Problem was the government couldn't decide on which of the four existing systems to give an official blessing to for it to be the system. And I think Sony eventually threw up its hands and said, okay, look, we're going to make an AM stereo radio, put a four-position toggle switch on the side. The user's going to have to figure the rest out. So that all crashed and burned thanks to federal government's indecision. And lack of technology wisdom. Wrapping up, retired Mark Scribner from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org is their website here on Issues and Ideas. Any concern, any statements so far about production limitations of driverless cars by the feds? So
we haven't seen anything in terms of manufacturing. We haven't really seen any restrictions so far. Now, obviously, once you start manufacturing these for consumer purposes, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards, the often very detailed technical regulations that govern the design of automobiles in the U.S., those obviously kick in. Now, there have been some problems with existing rules. For instance, you know, we've got a standard for emergency flashers that really dates back to the 1960s. It's based on a Society of Automotive Engineers technical standard that was produced back then. And you know, when the problem is that SAE and these private standards groups, they can update these standards over time and do that. When you're talking about a regulation, it's often much more difficult to change that because you're then not only dealing with the technical community, the engineers, you're also dealing with political sort of political powers. The Ralph Nader acolytes get involved in a lot of these decisions where they're making political arguments that often run counter to the best engineering knowledge we have, and that can gum up the works. So with the emergency flasher standard that we have right now, for instance, for the control switch, the way it's written, it implies that you need to actually have a physical human being engage and disengage that switch. Now, if you're talking about a technology like a self-driving taxi, that would be driving around empty for a large percentage of the time, obviously that would potentially not be legal because you would not be able to engage an emergency flasher in a situation where you'd want to notify other drivers in the roadway. So, you know, things like that. And to the Obama administration's credit, they did talk about alternative methods of compliance and really starting to look at that. But really what I think needs to be done, and so far we haven't seen this from the administration, but we need to conduct a full-scale audit of the existing regulations. And I think that's what the government should be focused on right now. Rather than passing new laws and enacting new regulations, we should really be looking at potentially these existing potential burdens rather than creating new ones. So that would be the perspective that I would offer them, and I hope, I know there are some people on Capitol Hill that are interested in going down that route. I just hope that the Obama administration eventually comes around to it too.
He is a transportation expert with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which is at CEI.org. Mark Scribner, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.